and Sleep in Heavenly Peace, the bunk bed people, are going to come and talk to us. Then you get a chance to buy as many votes as you want. They're $10 a vote, and you get to vote for your favorite. First place gets 50% of the proceeds, second place gets 30%, and third gets 20%. So all three groups will walk away with a little bit of money and a lot of education for us. So please sign up for one of those opportunities and start the work summer off on the right foot.
A reminder, if for those of you children, our Vacation Bible Camp is coming up this June. I encourage you to sign up. And for those of you who haven't made any doves yet, Pentecost is 2 weeks from today, and the dove is the symbol of the Spirit. And so what we're looking for are those of you who would be willing, you can take them home. Out in Calvin, out in the Welcome Center, you can find paper, instructions. Take them home, make them, bring them back. We're looking for 1,000. We have about 400. So just make some doves, please. And with those announcements, let us stand and greet one another in the name of Christ. Let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
I will call your name, embracing all your pain. and follow me, I will bring you home. I love you and you are mine.
Let us join together in our call to worship. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
May God's face shine upon us.
So that God's way might be known to all.
So that God's saving power might be known in all nations.
Let the people praise you.
Let all people praise you.
Let us worship God.
Please be seated. Would the children join me down front? Well, it was after school one day this week, Ralphette came up to her mom and said, "Mom, I'm going over to Emma's house to play." And her mom looked at her and said, Did Emma and her mom invite you to their house to play?" She said, "Nope, I'm just going anyway." And she said, "You know we don't do that. Why do you think you can just go over to invite yourself over to someone's house?" And Ralphette looked at her mom and said, "Well, Jesus did it." And her mom looked at her and said, "What do you mean Jesus did it?" She said, "Well, in Sunday school, we had this story about a man named Zach." Her mom said, "Zacchaeus? Oh, yeah, Zacchaeus. And when Jesus saw this guy named Zacchaeus, he said, 'Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. Let's have dinner.'" See, he invited himself over to his house, and so I can invite myself over to Emma's house. And her mom looked at her and said, "Ralphette, Jesus invited himself to Zacchaeus' house because Zacchaeus needed to hear something very important from Jesus. And Ralph had said, "What's that?" He said that Zacchaeus needed to hear that God loved him. Because Zacchaeus wasn't sure, because Zacchaeus had done some things that, well, weren't all that nice. And Jesus wanted to let him know that God loved him anyway. And so Ralphette said, "So, if I go over to Emma's house and tell her that God loves her, is that okay if I invite myself over?" And her mom said, "No, but you can probably invite Emma over here to play. How about that?" And Ralphette thought about it and thought, "Oh, that would work." But she was glad to know that God loves Zacchaeus just like she loved, just like he loved her. Can you guys say a prayer with me? Thank you, God, that you love all of us. Help us to show others that same love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you guys can go on to Sunday school. Chris, Jessica, come on up.
This is too good. Hear these words from Matthew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry. Children, come on up. Come on up. Come all the way up so you can watch. We have a question for you after this, during this baptism. So you guys need to come up and answer the question, okay?
Yep.
So come on up.
They know the question. Hear these words from Matthew. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. And from the book of Acts, the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls. In baptism, God claims us and puts a sign on us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and by the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember and rejoice in our own baptism as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of Session, I present Eve Marie Goulis to receive the sacrament of baptism.
Chris and Jessica, I now ask you to reject sin and to profess your faith in Jesus Christ and to confess the faith of the church, the faith in which we baptize. Rose is having a good time this morning. So, trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you renounce evil and its power in the world which defy God's love and righteousness? Do you? Do you turn to Jesus Christ and reaffirm him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and in his love? Will you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ, living in his word and showing his love? Putting all your trust in the grace and love of Jesus Christ, you desire that Eve be baptized. Relying on God's grace, you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to Eve. Will you, by your prayers and witness, help her grow into the full stature of Christ?
And to the congregation, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Eve, by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging her to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church. We do. And to the children, and do you children promise to help teach Eve about the love of Jesus? If so, say, we will.
Please rise in body or spirit and let us join together as we confess our faith with the whole church. We are not alone.
We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in light, in life, beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please be seated. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God of grace, that at the beginning of all things, your Spirit brooded over the waters of creation's birth, bringing forth life in all its fullness. And that through the gift of water, we praise you that you nourish and sustain all living things. We know that in the waters of the River Jordan, Jesus was baptized by John and anointed by the Holy Spirit. And because of that, he is the never-failing spring who has promised that all who thirst can come to the living water. That we might live no longer for ourselves, but for Christ, who lived, died, and rose for us. You send the Holy Spirit, Christ's gift for those who believe, who sends us out to live and proclaim the gospel to all nations. Therefore, saving God, we bless you for the water with which you bless us. We pray that Eve, who comes to the waters of life, will live in your grace, sharing in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit on us and on this water, that all who gather in this sign may be one in Christ. Glory be to you forever and ever. Amen. And what is the full Christian name of this child? Eve Marie Gullis, child of the covenant. We baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
Defend, O Lord, your servant, Eve Marie, with your heavenly grace, that she may continue yours forever, and daily increase in your Holy Spirit more and more, until she comes to your everlasting kingdom. Amen.
Eve Marie Gullis is now received into the Holy Catholic Church. Through baptism, God has made her a member of the household of God to share with us in the priesthood of Christ.
I want to introduce to you the newest member of Christ Universal Church and your newest sister. Because together we are one body, we are one church, we are one family around the world. And you all have promised to pray for Eve and for Rose and for her parents, for Chris and Jessica, that Eve might come to know the love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. And so we hope that you will take those promises and your answers to them seriously. because it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a church family to raise all of our children. And so we encourage you to be with her throughout her life and to you all to act as good big brothers and big sisters. Cindy.
Jessica and Chris, we welcome yet another of your family, Eve, into our community of faith. And we have for you a couple special gifts. You have a blanket already, but I'll bring it to you. A blanket made by Connie Ducker and a little book. Rose, would you like to come get this book? Which you can read to your little sister about baptism.
Well, congratulations, and thank you for letting us be part of your children's lives.
If ever we need a reminder of how wonderful and gracious God is, we just had that reminder. God gives us each other and calls us to join in as a family, as the body of Christ, in which God is present and with us at every moment. With thanks and praise and gratefulness, please join me in the prayer of adoration. God of all life, we praise you this morning for your ever-renewing creation. We praise you for new life that springs forth, bringing with it hope for this day that is filled with fresh possibilities. Help us to live with joy, knowing that you are with us as we explore what this day will bring. Amen.
Let us join together in the unison prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you.
Lord Jesus Christ, show us the way to live, to love, and to listen to you as we find encouragement along the way. Amen.
Our First Testament lesson is found in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. The author of Ecclesiastes is personally my favorite biblical author. He is trying to figure out how to live faithfully in a perplexing world, a world that can be joyous and full of despair at almost the same time. A quest that he and I think all of us, share. Let's listen as he gives his thoughts on the importance of people working together. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to one who is alone and falls and does not have another to help. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though one might prevail against another, two will withstand one. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our second reading is, for many of you, a very familiar story. It is the one I talked with the children about. It is about this man named Zacchaeus. And it is just about the last story before Jesus enters Jerusalem. And in some ways, it sets the context for the height and depth and breadth of God's love. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see Jesus because Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The word of the Lord. Barbara and her husband, Ed, were staying out on one of the barrier islands off the coast of Georgia, and as the sun began to set, they decided they would get out and go walking on the beach. He was looking for fossilized shark teeth. As she describes it, she was looking to make sure she didn't step on any sand burrs. And so they were rather preoccupied, and as they came along the beach, they almost didn't notice, half buried in the sand, a huge loggerhead turtle. And as Barbara reached down to touch the turtle and put her hand on it, she could just feel the heat radiating, because obviously it had buried itself early in the morning, because what loggerhead turtles do is they come up at night, they lay their eggs, and then they turn around and go back into the water. But somehow, this turtle was headed the exact wrong direction. Instead of heading back to the water, it was headed in towards the dunes. And the further it went, you could see the further it dug itself in, and the turtle was barely breathing. It didn't take them long to sort of figure out why the turtle was where it was, because they understood that loggerhead turtles, that once they come up on shore and lay their eggs, you know, the question is, how do they know their way back to the water? Well, the answer is that somehow they are able to see the gleaming of the moon and the stars on the water and on the waves, and it's that light then that allows them to know the right direction and to head back to sea. But they realized that in the opposite direction from the water was civilization. And as Barbara Brown Taylor, this is out of her book, Learning to Walk in the Dark, she said, "The lights of civilization were so much brighter than the lights on the water. And the turtle had mistaken those lights for the lights of the ocean, and it headed in the wrong direction until it was buried deep and dying. Now, as I read that part of her book, that story, it dawned on me that, at least for me, that's a really good description of how hard it is to be a Jesus follower. For those of you who are visiting today or new, over the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about where we find encouragement to be a follower of Jesus. And I think most of us, if we were pressed, could probably say, okay, I really know what I ought to do if I am going to follow Jesus. And I was thinking about it this morning. If you look back in your bulletin into the creed that's listed there, this is what it says. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence. And here it is: to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, and to proclaim Christ. And you could add to that, we are to love God and love neighbor. We are to forgive as we've been forgiven. That there is a way of life that Jesus showed us. And as those who want to follow, we know that if we want that kind of life, then what we look to is we look to Jesus, who the Gospel of John describes as the light of the world. He is the light that came into the world, the light that darkness cannot extinguish. And so we know that we're supposed to be looking at that light for meaning and for purpose and for who we are to be. But we also know that in the opposite direction, there are a lot of other very bright lights that beckon us and call to us and say, you want a full life? You want to be fully alive? Come to our light. There's acquisition. There's appearance. There's achievement. There's applause. There's fame. There's fortune. There's wealth. They're having all the right toys. And Cindy's laughing because that's me. That's my light that always beckons me. But that those are the lights that shine and say, if you really want to be fully alive, if you want to have the best life, come to our light. And so what happens so often is that those lights are so much brighter than the one we see in Christ, that we move in that direction, and that, like the turtle, the further we go, the more we get bogged down, the more we realize that ultimately those things don't give us ultimate life and hope and joy that lasts, until we finally just stop. Now, if you want to know what that looks like, all you have to do is go to the story of Zacchaeus. Okay? So let's step back and think about Zacchaeus for a minute. Zacchaeus was a Jew, just like Jesus, just like Jesus' disciples. And which meant that Zacchaeus understood how he was to live his life. Because as we talk about Christ being the light that we are to attune ourselves to and to follow, Zacchaeus knew what the light was for him as a good Jew, just like it was for Jesus. It was the Torah. It was the law of Moses that says things like, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It says things like, love your neighbor as yourself. It says, care for widows and orphans. It says, take care of those who are strangers and outcasts. It is a way of life that he knew he was called to live. But somehow, some place along the way, he had seen the other lights. The lights of wealth, and power, of privilege, of status. And so he understood that the way to attain those things was essentially to become a tax collector. And Jericho was a great place to be a tax collector, by the way, because it was a center of commerce and trade. It was a place where they had balsam trees that were bought and sold. It was a place where dates just almost fell off the trees. And so if you wanted to get rich, go to Jericho and be a tax collector. Because the way you collected taxes is you took the share that the government wanted and then you took a cut for yourself. And not only was he just a tax collector, he was what people call a tax farmer. He had moved up the ranks. So he had all of these other tax collectors working for him, and each of them took a cut, and each of them had to pay him a part of the cut. And so, as the story says, he became very, very rich. And so you would think he had it all, right? But somehow he didn't. And we know this because he wanted to see who Jesus was. He had heard of Jesus sort of through the grapevine. And so when Jesus comes to town, Zacchaeus... Now, I know in the story it says he couldn't see Jesus because he was short of stature. But you would think, okay, well, he could have pushed through the crowd, right? He could have pushed his way through and gotten to the front of the line and seen Jesus. But you have to remember, he's the enemy. He's the one who's collecting taxes for a corrupt government. He's the one who's collecting taxes for the oppressors. Chances are, if he tried to push his way through the crowd, he would be hit, he'd be kicked, he might even be stabbed. He was a man who was outside of society. He had everything, and at the same time, he had nothing. And so he climbs this tree to see. And then what's fascinating about this story is that this man who is essentially lost, who's searching, his life is changed by a simple invitation. Now, there's a lot of very strange things about this invitation. I mean, the first one is Jesus invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. Right? Jesus doesn't say, listen, let's go down to the Hampton Inn down the road and we can have brunch. He says, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. We're going to go to your house and we're going to have a meal there. That's the first thing that's strange. The second thing is strange is that he goes to Zacchaeus' house because remember, as I said a minute ago, Zacchaeus is the enemy. And you cannot underestimate how much Zacchaeus was hated by the populace. And yet, here comes Jesus going to this tax collector's house to share a meal. Then the strangest thing of all is what happens next. Notice, as Luke tells this story, Jesus doesn't speak to Zacchaeus. Jesus doesn't tell Zacchaeus what a terrible person he is. He doesn't shame Zacchaeus because he's been stealing people's money. He doesn't tell him how to get right with God about how much he should return to those from whom he has stolen stuff. That somehow for Zacchaeus, simply being in Jesus' presence, in the presence of the light that has come into the world, he is transformed. And we know he's transformed because he says he will give half of everything he has to the poor. The law said you only had to give 10%. He's going to give half. He says, if I have defrauded anyone, I'm going to give them four times as much as I took from them. The law said you only had to give twice as much. Something has happened to Zacchaeus simply by being in the presence of Jesus. In the presence of God
there as God's light in Christ. He's changed. Which is why I would argue this morning that what we do here as community, why it matters so much. Again, in the creed we read this morning when we were baptizing Eve, it says that we're not just the church, but that we are the body of Christ. I want you to just let that roll through your mind for a minute. We're not just a volunteer organization of people that come together and read and sing, and we are the living body of Christ in the world. Not just us, but the people next door at the Methodists and across at the Lutherans and down the street at the Baptists. When followers of Jesus, when we meet together, we are the living body of Christ. And so when people come into our midst, when we come into our midst, we encounter the light of God. We encounter it at the font when we hear the words of God's claiming Eve. We hear it at the table when we are fed by the bread of Christ. We hear it in the words of Scripture and in the proclamation of the Word. We see the light when we greet and welcome one another. Regardless of who we are, where we've come from, what we do, when we have this welcome, it is the light of Christ. And that being in the presence of God in Christ is what changes us and encourages us and gives us what we need to step back out those doors and back out into the world with all sorts of lights gleaming, saying, come to us. And it helps us stay focused on being those who follow in the way of Jesus Christ. But the thing is, all of us are here, and Tom, I know especially with you this morning, all of us are here because someone invited us. We're all here because someone invited us to be here. It may have been a parent. Chris and Jessica, you have invited Eve to be here. You have invited Rose to be here in our midst. Some of you, it may be a grandparent or a friend. Some of you, it may simply be the Holy Spirit that just nudged you and pushed you and said, okay, Come and be present in the light, in the community, in the body of Christ. It's an invitation. So what I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to do two things here for me. But to do them, you're going to have to shut your eyes. Don't fall asleep, just shut your eyes. And I want you to think back in your life and see that person who invited you into the body of Christ. Was it a parent, a grandparent, a friend, the Spirit itself? Who gave you that invitation to come to the light? When you see them, give thanks to God for them, for caring deeply enough to invite you to be here, to be present. And second, with your eyes still closed, I want you to think about family, friends, acquaintances, people at school, people at work, who seem to be seeking, searching, who are looking for something, who are looking maybe for the way to follow in a way that gives life and hope. And when you see that person, simply ask God to open a way for you to invite. Not to shame, not to push, not to pull, just to invite. That like Zacchaeus, they might come into the light and find their true selves. Okay, so how many of you would like to know what happened to the turtle? So Ed ran off, found a park ranger who came back with a big four-wheel drive truck and a chain. They flipped the turtle over on its back, which took all three of them, and they carefully wrapped the chain around the turtle. And then using the four-wheel drive vehicle, they dragged it back down the beach and into the water where they flipped it back over. And she describes looking at what happened as the turtle was in the water and the water began to lap up over it and it cooled it and it began to breathe and it began to move. And then off it went. That's not what I want you to do with people. I'm not asking you to put a chain around them and drag them to church. That's not what this is about. That's where this whole metaphor breaks down. It is simply being willing, if someone is seeking, looking, to invite them. Not to convince them of anything, not to say you have to believe this or that, just to invite and say, in this place I have found light and hope and encouragement. How would you like to come? That's my challenge to you for this week. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful that once upon a time someone invited us into your light that shows us how to live lives of love and compassion and justice and faithfulness. Help us to share that with someone else, that they too might find encouragement for the way. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated. We keep coming back to this creed today, and that's a good thing. We're called to be the church, to love and serve others. With our offerings, we use them to that extent. And so with gratitude for all that God has done for us, for gratitude that we have something to offer to help serve the lives of others and to serve God, let us give with joyous hearts today.
Thank you.
God, we give joyfully and gratefully, and we ask you to guide us. Guide us to use these gifts. Guide us to use our lives to honor you and be the body of Christ. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. I ask you to join me in prayer. Triune God, we give you thanks that although we sometimes wander off from thoughts of you, your love and your faithfulness never sway. We pray for the whole of creation. You are not only around us, but you are within us, for your very breath is inside us. Help us to respect that breath and act in ways that honor you at all times. We pray today for local and world leaders. Give strength to those who seek harmony and reconciliation. Today we lift up those who have died for the sake of the freedom we too often take for granted. We are grateful for their sacrifice. But we also boldly pray for that day of peace when such sacrifice will not be needed. We pray for the church. Make us instruments of your peace and guide our visions and guide our actions to be reflections of Jesus. Listening God, you know that we carry troubled hearts. And you have promised to hear us when we pray. And so we pray for ourselves and those close to us. May all who struggle feel your love as a source of comfort and strength. Give rest to those weary with heavy burdens. Wrap your arms around those named in these prayer requests and embrace those we lift up silently in our hearts. God of grace and mercy, help us become a temple in which you dwell and through which you minister to the world. And now hear us, Lord, as we pray the prayer taught by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
Before I pronounce the benediction, I want to thank again Karina for sharing her gifts with us this morning. It was beautiful. And now receive the benediction. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.